Let's switch to stage four disease. And again, the common questions that you receive.
I view stage four disease in the good performance status patient is really three major groups of patients. The patients who should get bevacizumab, the patients who shouldn't get bevacizumab, and then the never smokers. And as a general way, those are the three groups of patients. It's interesting to me to talk to docs across the U.S. in terms of the percentages of patients in their practice that they think are eligible to receive bevacizumab. There's been a very wide spectrum of this, from about the 20% range to about the 60 to 70% range. Obviously, the issues we deal with is how much hemoptysis is too much hemoptysis. We go searching for brain mets, typically with MRI nowadays, that we didn't necessarily do 5 years ago if a patient were asymptomatic, and you end up finding a lot of asymptomatic brain mets. We struggle with the histologic issues in a setting where many of our diagnoses are made on fine needle aspirations, and we can't get a histologic diagnosis. So there are some issues there. What other factors might predict for serious hemorrhage of bevacizumab? The one I worry about is baseline cavitation on a CT scan when you first see a patient, which actually may be a surrogate marker for squamous histology anyway. So,
what about the development of cavitation once the patient's been treated?
Yeah, we worry about that, and we've actually seen that in a couple of our patients. We have continued the bevacizumab, and so far we have not been burned by that kind of strategy. I think that, obviously, in my mind, cavitation implies dying tumor. And so cavitation is actually a good thing. And so we continue on with treatment. We've not been in a situation where we've had cavitation that then preceded either a very serious or fatal pulmonary hemorrhage. Knock on wood, that doesn't happen. But I think that that's what people get concerned about. I don't know that there's a right answer in that patient. I guess one could consider, you know, interrupting systemic treatment for a while to give radiotherapy to that area to reduce the risk of pulmonary bleeding. However, you know, I'm not sure we have data about how good of a prophylactic strategy that is yet. So in the absence of knowing what to do, we've in that setting, which hasn't happened too many times, but we've kind of continued on with treatment.